You're listening to a Davenport After Dark podcast. Tune in every Thursday night at 10 o'clock on News Talk 106 to 108.
Did you ever read The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury or see the miniseries that they made from it in the 70s?
No.
I remember watching it as a kid, okay? It was in the early 80s or whatever, but like, or even maybe the late 70s, but being absolutely riveted by it. It was Rock Hudson was in it. And basically, it was all about a colony on Mars in the distant future, 2004. And I have to say, I thought it was remarkable. And I'd go on and on about Mars. And I'd sit in there and ask my parents questions. And like, I wanted to live there. I wanted to move there. I thought it was brilliant. Maybe because the women were really, you know, it was just, it seemed so exotic. I remember my dad going, listen, if you don't shut up about it, I'll send you to Mars. And, you know, that kind of parental logic. But anyway, it seems that if I cozy up to a billionaire called Dennis Tito, I could actually get onto his Mars project, which is going to launch on January 5th, 2018. A 500-day mission to Mars and back for a couple.
Yeah, I heard about this, yeah.
Would you be into it?
Well, it's one-way tickets though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's a one-way ticket. I'm not sure I'd be that invested.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't want a way out.
Well, Tito's timing's pretty good, given that Stephen Hawking is after saying we face extinction here and need to escape our fragile planet. And what with the Indian and Chinese space programs already getting the jump, because they've spent, well, looks like billions investing in a feasible Mars project. I wonder if the future for, you know, human life is in fact on a colony on Mars. And we're joined by David Moore, who's the founder and chairman of Astronomy Ireland, to talk about this. David, good evening to you.
Good evening.
I suppose we'll start with, like, you know, I mean, is there any real reasons why we should be looking for life beyond our planet? I mean, Stephen Hawking talks about we face extinction. He talks about overpopulation, the depletion of our resources. But surely that's not going to happen for tens of thousands of years to come.
No, in fact, if you watch the way the Earth's population is increasing, it was doubling very quickly. The problem is we can't actually support as many people as we have on this planet without technology. And even that technology will run out of steam to enable us to support more than about 10 billion people. There's about 7 billion at the moment. So we can't double the Earth's population again. So in roughly a century's time, we're going to be not only at 10 billion people, but they're going to be fighting for resources. By then, the oil will definitely have run out.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have developed other forms of energy, like, for instance, fusion, which is proving very, very difficult to actually commercialize. But something hopefully will come along in the meantime. But then other resources go as well. There's limited amounts of materials to build things with for our modern technology. And so you start looking to other planets naturally. And, you know, whether it's going to happen in our lifetime or not, I don't really know. But I think we all believe that centuries, millennia down the road, the human race is not going to be based on planet Earth. We're going to be on other planets. It's going to be a bit like Star Trek, which I know was fiction. It was based on some kind of ideas and possible future facts.
What would make Mars a decent candidate for extraplanetary exploration, though?
Well, when you look around our solar system, we have two planets nearby, Venus, which is actually comes closer to us than Mars does, and Mars itself, either side of us. Now, Venus is too hot, and it has a runaway greenhouse effect that's taken the temperature up to about nearly 500 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
And that's during the day and at night. And it rains battery acid, hot battery acid, onto the ground as well. So that doesn't sound like colonized.
No, we can live without that.
It's the same size as the Earth, though. So the gravity is about the same, but the air pressure is wrong. The atmosphere is wrong. So Mars, which is a bit further out and therefore a bit colder, is half the size of the Earth. So there's one third of the gravity, which would actually help if you're carrying around a heavy spacesuit. You'd be able to hop around like they did on the moon, which only has a sixth of the Earth's gravity. But it does have a bit of an atmosphere. It's only as thick as the air on the Earth, 100,000 feet up, so three times the height of Mount Everest. But that's enough for a weather system. And it's if it were oxygen, which it isn't, it's choking carbon dioxide gas. But there are ways long-term of converting it to oxygen. That would be almost breathable. And you could get around on Mars with a thin spacesuit on you.
Right.
And if you live underground, you can actually build relatively cheap enclosures to protect people from the elements and the low pressure and the colder temperatures. So Mars is almost habitable. And if we can terraform it, that is, convert it to something like the Earth, by seeding it with bacteria or plants that could convert the atmosphere to oxygen and make it thicker as well, you could actually see Mars almost being a second Earth.
And is it that terraforming technology that the Chinese and the Indians have been investing money in?
Not yet. That's a very long-term project. It's one of these things that could be done theoretically on paper. It would be rather like the problem we have with climate change here on the Earth, deliberately doing that to a planet like Mars. And you know, we hardly even know that the full details of what's going on the Earth to change the temperature by a few degrees. So to actually drastically convert a planet that half the size of the Earth is going to require a lot more research. But the basic idea is if you can thicken up the atmosphere, use plants to convert it to oxygen, which is what happened here on the Earth. Our atmosphere was choking to us billions of years ago. There was no oxygen in it. Oxygen is actually given out by plants and small organisms in the oceans that basically excrete oxygen. It's a byproduct, and we've evolved to make use of this highly toxic gas. I mean, it rusts your car and lots of other things as well. It's actually quite a dangerous gas, is oxygen. It doesn't occur in nature.
So if we're a long way from that kind of terraforming technology, practically speaking, what's the most realistic first step? Is it just kind of building some sort of primitive colony in, you know, these kind of glass bubbles that you would have seen in sci-fi movies?
Yeah, the first thing is always the exploration. I mean, if you look at the way that the Americas have been converted over the last 500 years, the first people there, like Columbus, and like, we're just exploring. It was a foreign, alien land full of big questions as to how big it was, what resources were there. But now look at it, 500 years later, biggest economy on the planet. Could that be what happens to the human race in another 500 years' time, that Mars is the biggest economy of the human race? It's not impossible. People, there are probes on Mars right now trundling around, exploring the surface, other ones photographing the surface to higher resolution than we have images of the Earth. That's all happening today and for the last few decades, and it's planned to continue into the future. That then gives you an idea of what the place is like, where the best place might be to land, and ideas then of how you build a colony start to spring up based on this information. Now you know what the conditions are like, and the founder of PayPal, Elon Musk, he's already got a space company that's launching spacecraft to the International Space Station for billions of dollars for NASA. And he plans to have a colony on Mars of about 80,000 people.
Wow.
And he must be planning that to happen in his lifetime. And he's only 41 at the moment. So when people, you know, that kind of serious backing and track record start saying, a lot of people stand up and take note.
David, is Mars the only option, or are there other viable alternatives?
Yeah, well, when you look out deeper into space, you find that there are planets orbiting, as we thought, most of the stars. We've been trying to find planets at the same size as the Earth. Finding big ones is easy because they're very difficult to see. The light of the star drowns out the faint light of the tiny planets next to it. But we have now found them, and we found planets about the same size as the Earth, the same distance from the star. Therefore, the temperatures and kind of conditions that are on the Earth should be the same there. But they'd be too difficult for us to get to.
I was just going to say,
our current technology.
Yeah, because it would be a little bit far away. Is there anyone in particular that has enthused scientists?
Well, one of the hot topics is that there's a spacecraft called Kepler, which is in space staring at stars, 150,000 of them nonstop, to see if anything passes in front of them, like a small planet. And it's found quite a few. There's one called Kepler 22b. And it's about the size, a bit bigger than the Earth, but it would have very similar circumstances. It's got a 290-day year.
Okay.
So again, similar to the Earth, and the surface will be at the kind of temperatures that we experience here on the Earth. But whether there's any oxygen on the surface caused by any plant life there, that's a much bigger question. But you know, we estimate there's roughly a half a trillion stars in our own galaxy, and that probably most of those have planets, so some of them must have planets the right size, the right distance from their star. And there've got to be millions, if not billions, of Earth-like planets in our galaxy, and there are then hundreds of billions of galaxies in the known universe. So the number of Earth-like planets out there is staggering, but they are all very far away, and our current technology would not allow us to get to any of those, you know, in human lifetimes anyway.
David, I mentioned Dennis Tito, this billionaire who's put this project together. He wants to launch in 2018. What do astronomers and scientists make of that kind of entrepreneurship?
Well, I was quite surprised when it happened. We'd heard of Tito before. We had him on the front cover of our magazine many years ago when he paid $20 million to go up to the International Space Station for a week.
That's right, yeah.
So he's a space. I can't remember if he's the first or second space tourist. And his plan is, it's not a space trip in that the couple he wants to send would spend 500 days in space going to Mars, not landing, but going around Mars and then coming back. The problem is all the radiation you're going to be exposed to out in space for 500 days.
Yeah. We got a lot of texts. Someone reckons that's the aliens of Mars. Not happy. Not happy that we're suggesting coming to live on their planet. But I suppose the key question is this. How many centuries down the line are we thinking?
Well, predicting the future, and futurologists have a great time, is very difficult. I mean, who would have predicted, say, the internet even a couple of decades ago? I remember when computers first came out. The idea of home computers seemed a bit crazy. What do we need them for? And then this thing called the internet, the World Wide Web, sprung up. And we've seen how that's transformed a modern society. And one of the problems with space travel is actually getting there. It requires a lot of energy, a lot of fuel, and a lot of time with current technology, 500 days to get there and back. It's not like going to the moon that you can do in a few days.
It's a commitment.
Whether it's going to happen in decades or centuries, I'm not sure. I'd like to think it could be decades, but it might just end up being centuries.
Okay, David Moore of Astronomy Ireland, thank you very much for that. And we leave it. Jerry, I think, makes a good point. If we can't survive on the most bounteous and human-friendly planet, we certainly won't survive anywhere else. Or put another way, if we made a balls of this one, we're definitely going to make a hames of it somewhere else. That was a Davenport After Dark podcast, live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on News Talk 106 to 108 FM.